like it was, I don't know, I don't look like there was trouble before they crashed.
Attention, 68 engine, 35 engine, 50 engine, 64.
Within minutes, 26 fire units were speeding to the scene. Though little was known about the incident, fire commanders could see that this was no ordinary emergency. Flames engulfed the North Tower impact zone, which spanned floors 93 through 99. With so much fire so far from the ground, it quickly became obvious that this would be a rescue operation, not a firefight.
Wait, where was it?
Dispatcher instructions to callers followed standard protocol for high-rise fires. If you're unable to evacuate on your own, stay where you are until the units reach you. Incredibly, others in the building were still unaware of the dangers they faced.
They were getting a lot of calls that the lights were out. Some people didn't know what had happened, they just knew the lights were out in the building.
As the minutes ticked by, the voices from the upper floors became more and more urgent.
I have a woman that's hanging from the building from the northwest side of the One World Trade Center.
1064, the man said the floor is on fire.
How many other people are with you right now? 200?
I was talking to a lady. She was on one of the upper floors, couldn't get down. She said it was smoky, they were breaking the windows. And as I'm on the phone with her, she's like, oh, now people are jumping. What should I do? Should I jump?
I think at some point, I started to see people jump out of windows. There's no words to describe that, because you know that they had a choice at that moment. And their choice was to stay and burn or take their own life in their own hands. And
those still trapped in the towers continued to dial 911 for help. Before releasing these recordings, officials deleted caller voices.
Man, fire department 281, where's the fire?
I want you to get what that lady said. Okay, man, give me this middle eye. I want you to get what that lady said. It struck me when I saw that, and I want you to see it for a reason this morning. And the reason I want you to see it was that she said this. She said they had a choice. She said they had a choice to stay and burn or jump. And I thought, my, what a terrible, terrible choice that would be. How awful that would be. How awful and terrible it would be to have that choice. But every one of you have that same choice this morning. You can stay in your sins and burn, or you can jump in the arms of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how bad it must have been on that day? Lord have mercy. The fire, they said the floor was on fire. They said people was laying down on the floor because you could get a little bit of fresh air if you laid flat on the floor, and it felt like the floor was on fire. When you will jump out of 105 floors up, you are experiencing some very terrible pain. You had a choice, she said. Jump or burn. You've got that choice today. Jump into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say that this morning, three things right quickly, and then I'll give you some other things, and we'll go. You know what went down? We all thought, people try to say that the world's a better place. But I want to tell you this morning, here it is, 10 years later, I want to say our money is down. Financially this morning, we're worse off than we was before 9/11. I don't know if that did it or not, but our economy and this country's financial wealth run has never been the same since that morning. And some, you know, that thing knocked out some of our smartest financial minds in our country, not to mention all that computer systems, not to mention all of those work, not to mention the millions and billions and millions of dollars that we had to immediately start spending on homeland security, and not to mention how our money is down. You know, it's harder to get a job now than it was before 9/11. It's harder. And our government, our unemployment is at a time it's not been in many, many years. The jobs they're getting on the TV and bragging about creating are government jobs, and that means the government pays them. You know where the government gets money? They just print it up or take it from the taxpayer, us. Our country this morning is down in our money. Our financial system is down since 9/11. But I want to say we're not only down in money, but we're down in morals. That's why China is going to wind up owning this country. I'm telling you, brother, everything you pick up, made in China. A leader in a well-known furniture business told me not long ago, said, Danny, we can hire a person to do work in this company. She said, if we hire a person to do our work here, we have to pay that person $15 an hour. She said, not only that, we have to pay health insurance. Not only that, we have to pay the EPA to come in if they spill one drop of shellac or varnish on the ground and run tests. Not only that, we have to hire lawyers when there's a sexual harassment case brought against them or their wife or somebody like that. She said we have to spend tens and tens of thousands of dollars just on one worker. Jay said we can send that work to Mexico, pay one man $75 a month to do everything that man's doing, and it's costing us $10,000. And that's what's wrong with our country this morning. We got so many rules and government restrictions, and everything. I mean, we can't even make a living no more. Our country is down in our money. Our country is down in our morals. You can't tell me that we're better off morally than we were before 9/11. We're worse. Now, buddy, them first couple of weeks, everybody got religion. I mean, everybody was talking about praying. Church attendance went up. People were praying and flags were waving, and everybody got patriotic, religious, and got religion. But you know as well as I know, it wasn't but just a few weeks till all of that wore off. And brother, we sunk to lows in this country morally that we never had been to before. I say to you this morning, we sunk to new lows in this country morally than we were before 9/11. Amen? We sure have. There's stuff going on now that wasn't heard of before 9/11. I'm not saying that's the cause of it. I'm just saying our morals are down. In the last 10 years, I mean everything. There's more people shacking up. There's more drinking liquor. There's a lot more partying. I mean, there's a lot more wickedness. There's a lot more dirty things going on. There's a lot more sin going out there. There's a lot of drug use is up. Cursing's up. Gambling's up. Lying's up. Cheating's up. Stealing's up. I'm telling you, our morals went down since 9/11. I'm telling you, a few years ago, when Britney Spears kissed Madonna, and they made it popular and made it cool to be a lesbian. Brother, our country took a step down, and the devil used Katy Perry to mess up a whole generation of girls. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you hear, I've got that song right there in my Bible, Rock God by Selena Gomez, and right here it is, where the word Selena Gomez, a teenager, Justin Bieber's girlfriend, who said this. She said the preacher man walked into the club and said, hey girl, get your life right and quit straying. And she said, Father, I'm torn and I'm selling my soul. That's what Selena Gomez said. I'm selling my soul to the rock God, to the bass, to the rhythm. I can't confess my rock and roll ways. I'm possessed with the music. I'm going to tell you this morning, teenagers are being led down the path tonight or this morning of being the Satanist and devil worshipers. Little Wayne, Kanye West, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, all of them are against God and against the Bible and against the truth. I'm saying this morning, we're down morally. Amen. You better believe we are. Amen. New York, since then, just the other day, legalized gay marriages. 19 million people. I mean, in New York alone, legalized gay marriages. Are we up morally or are we down? 9/11 didn't teach us much of a lesson. I'm telling you this morning, as a nation, we're more wicked than we've ever been. Say amen like that. I'm going to tell you this morning, we're down their money. We're down their morals. But I'm going to tell you another thing. We're down their miracles. When you go down in your morals, you're automatically down in your miracle. You don't see God doing much anymore. You don't see many churches. I tell you something this morning, most churches are so dead, it's absolutely beyond boring. It's absolutely dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. There ain't enough power of God in most of our churches this morning. I mean, to blow a spiritual booger out of their nose. I'm going to tell you that our power is down. We don't see God doing any miracles. You don't see many sinners weeping their way to God, getting down on the altar. You don't see many Christians that even care if they do or not. Christians don't even care if they come to church or not. If you go all right, if you don't all right. And I'm talking to you. Yes, I'm talking to you. If you feel like I'm talking to you, yes, I'm talking to you. Christians couldn't give a hoot about God. Don't care about reading their Bible. Lay their Bible up for a week. We're down with the miracles. We're down. Listen, brother, we didn't learn nothing from 9/11. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'll tell you something, brother. I saw a bumper sticker that said, dog is love. Thank God backwards, just to blaspheme God. There's a preacher over here at Bell Share preaching the other day over there on the street, and they threw beer on him and spit on him. If it had been a bunch of preachers throw beer on a homosexual, it would have been on the news. It would have went nationwide. He'd have been charged with a hate crime. But you can spit on the man of God preaching, brother, we're down in the miracle department. How long has it been since you've been to church and God touched your heart? You know what's wrong with some of you people? Let me just haul off here and tell you what's wrong with some of y'all. Y'all watched about 10 movies this week and never spent 15 minutes reading your Bible. That's what's wrong with some of y'all sitting right here this morning. Movies, 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 movies. Let's watch a movie. Movies, 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 movies. You got blessed movies coming out your ear. If you throw some of them things down, turn up movies, 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 movies. That's why you're bored during preaching. You can't even listen no more. You got to have actions, lights, guts, blood, cut somebody's head off, jack up, go naked. If you turn that thing off a little bit, get off that computer and get in your book, God might do a miracle once again. You say, well, I'm just bored at church. It ain't no wonder you're so full of the devil's candy. You ain't got no appetite for God no more. I'm just getting warmed up. You better be glad I'm tired and stayed up all night. Amen. I'm telling you, we're down in our miracles. I want to see God do a miracle. I'd like to see somebody walk the aisle. Wouldn't you like to see an old drunk walk the aisle and get born again? Wouldn't you like to see a mama come or a daddy come and get on this altar and get born again? You know what your problem is? Movies, 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 movies. You watch too many stupid movies. The Lord laid on my heart to say that. If it puts you under conviction, you deal with God about it. That's exactly why you ain't got no victory. That's exactly why you lay out of church. That's exactly why you can't make Sunday school. That's exactly why. Movies, 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 movies. You're too religious to go get drunk or get on drugs. You just like to watch everybody else. Miracles. I'm glad the lights is out so I can't see y'all making faces at me. I talked to a guy yesterday at the motel where I was staying. I said, why don't you come to church? He's proceeded to tell me. He's following this girl around, he's cleaning the motel room. And she kept saying, do you want your room clean? I said, no, I ain't took a shower since been here. My bed's already messed up, so I'll sleep in it again tonight. I said, I'm going to take one. Don't just chill out. And I said, no, I don't do. She said, well, can I do something? See, they get paid. You know. So I said, oh, I understand what you're saying. Go on in there. Get me a fresh towel. But take out the trash. Do something so you can get paid for my room. And so then he was following her around. And I said, man, you need to come to church tonight, man. You need to come to our revival. You need to come to revival tonight. And you know what he said? He said this. He said, brother, he said, I've been in car wrecks. He said, I like to got killed two or three times. I cut a telephone pole down. I done this, you know, and I walked away from it. I mean, he said, I'll tell you one thing. I quit drinking. I quit that drinking. My mama's a Christian, and I could smell it on him right then. I could smell liquor on him, and he just told me to quit drinking. And he said, well, I drink a little bit every now and then. What he means, he cut down a little bit. That's what he means. And I thought, boy, ain't that just like a, he quit drinking, or he went down from staying dog drunk, throwing up, to just staying about half high all the time. And listen, I'm telling you something this morning. Your problem is we don't see any miracles. We cut down on the miracles. And since 9/11, people used to respect and honor God and fear God in this country, but not anymore. I'm going to show you something that's wrong. I done made half of you mad. Might as well get some more of you this morning. Let me show you this here. Let me show you this right here this morning. This never happened before in history. What's this?
Assalamu alaikum. As the Holy Quran tells us,
one.
The Holy Quran teaches that,
two.
The Holy Quran tells us, and
the Holy Quran. Listen, that man's my president. I respect and honor him as my president. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. The Quran is not holy. The Quran is a lie from hell. And I know, listen, I could be shot for what I'm saying right now. I'm not trying to be dramatic this morning. There's people that would kill me for what I just got through saying. But we got to make up our mind. Are we playing church this morning? What? It ain't no wonder that God's not blessing America this morning. The Holy Quran is not holy. It's an unholy bunch of bulls, what it is. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, you shouldn't say that about Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Either Jesus lied or the Quran lied. And you make up your mind which one. And he quote, listen what he says when he's talking about the Bible. When he talks about the Quran, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran. When he talks about the Bible, he don't say Holy Bible. He finds fault with the Bible.
Holy Quran also says,
listen to this.
Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy?
Now he's gonna cut up, take out of context, and find fault with the Bible. He said, are we gonna go by Deuteronomy that teaches slavery's okay? Or Leviticus that talks or Leviticus or Deuteronomy that talks about stoning your children? He said if the Defense Department would have to go out of business if they went by the Sermon on the Mount. What he says. Don't understand the Bible. Has no idea what he's talking about.
Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application.
I'm going to tell you something this morning. He said, well, what about the Scripture that says stoning your child? What about the Koran that says kill the infidels? Anybody that's not a Muslim? You see how he conveniently exalts the Koran and cuts down the Holy Bible. We've never done that in history by our nation's president. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. You say, well, I'll get mad and I ain't coming back. Well, I'm going to load your wagon while you're here this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't running no popularity contest. I'm up here to preach the Word of God. And I'm telling you, our country's worse off this morning. More, it ain't got nothing to do with what color he is. I'd vote for a green man if he'd stand for what's right. I'd vote for a purple man. It's got nothing to do with race. It's got nothing to do with... That's a cop-out. I'm telling you, it's a matter of honoring God and doing what's right. And standing for the Lord. Amen. I tell you this morning, brother, our country we're down on the miracles. Let me say three things this morning, and I'll let you go. I'm going to show you something else right quickly this morning. I want to say three things about this situation that we're in this morning, and may God help us this morning to get our hearts right with Him. Just a second here, and I want to show you something else. I want to say three things, and I'll be done. I want to say, first of all, this morning, the safest place in the world. You know what we learned from 9/11? The safest place is the will of God. The safest place you can be is the will of God. People say, I used to feel safe in America no more. I don't feel safe. The safest place you can be is right smack in the will of God. I remember my girls growing up, I always, preached people ought to be missionaries and people ought to go to the mission field and all of that kind of stuff. And I was always afraid. I didn't want God to call one of my girls to the mission field. I didn't want God to call one of my daughters to the mission field. I didn't want to do it. I thought, Lord, I don't want one of my girls to have to go to China or Russia or Africa or somewhere so they might get killed. And then one day it hit me. It was like the Lord said, Danny, they're safer over yonder in my will than they are right here in the living room in Alpi Tom Holler, out of the will of God. Your kids, your family, you want to be safe? You say, well, I'll build me a big house and I'll put locks on my doors and I'll put my guns in a safe and I'll put my money in IRAs and everything. I'm going to tell you something, ain't nothing wrong with none of that, but the safest place there is the will of God, is the will of God. You want to be safe? Get in God's will. Nothing can't happen to you if you're in God's will that he don't allow. You get in God's will this morning. Get in God's will. Some of you used to be in God's will. You used to live for God. Now you've done straight. You think you're smart and you've done straight out here somewhere. You know why? Movies. That's your problem, you addict. You need to get your addiction help this morning and get some help from God. Put your nose back in that book. Maybe God will help you. You can't sit and watch movies all day long and hear people cuss. And you know what you'll do? You'll start cussing. I tell you, I can't get off of that. And every time I get off, I feel a kick coming out of here like you wouldn't believe. Listen, if it's that bad here, what's it like in other churches? I ain't saying it's wrong to watch everything on TV. I'm just saying you're addicted to that stuff. And that's why you think like them. That's why you talk like them. And eventually you're going to act like them. You watch people cuss and commit adultery and everything, it'll be you out there doing it before it's over with. That's why you want to right now. Safest place is the will of God. Daniel was safer in the lion's den than Nebuchadnezzar was in the palace that night with a good feather pillow. David was safer in his sandals than Goliath was with his combat boots and his helmet on. Say amen. Amen. Moses was safer in the bulrushes than Pharaoh was up there, brother, in his chariots of iron. Paul was safer in jail than Herod was on the throne. Jesus was safer on the cross than the Roman soldiers was there with their swords and with their spears. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm glad we got an army. I'm glad we got a navy. I'm glad we got Marines and all that. But America has been blessed all these years because our God was the Lord. We start switching off to other gods. We start legalizing gay marriages. You know what we're doing? We're getting out of the will of God and we are taking his protection off of us. And that's what happened in 9/11. The protecting hand of God's being moved off of us. But you think we was in trouble in 2001. We really in trouble now. There ain't no telling what's fixing to happen next. I'm going to show you here in just a minute. I want to say, secondly, the surest plan is the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My Word shall not pass away. Stay in church. Stay in the Word of God. Stay on your knees. I know it's hard. I know the devil's throwing everything at us. Lord, I live in the flesh too. I fight the same battles you fight. I know it's tough. I know. I've never seen it harder to try to stay right with God than it is right now. But brother, be a soldier. Man up, amen. Just some guts. I mean, get you a handful of tracks on the way out of here tonight and say, glory to God, I'm going to stand. Listen, the surest plan is the Word of God. The surest plan. Order your steps in the Word of God. Live your life by this book. And that's the surest plan there. I heard one story this week in that documentary I watched. And this man said, he was a fine Christian man in the World Trade Center that day. And he said, he's on like one of them 88th floor or something like that. He said it leveled everything in there. And he said he got down underneath his desk. And he said he was praying, oh God, oh God, oh God. And he said that building shook. He said everything. He said he got out from under there. He said every desk on that floor was flattened and leveled. He said, but his desk stood just like this right here. And he said his Bible was laying on top of that desk. He said every one of them in there was destroyed, but he said his desk stood strong and the Word of God lay it right on top of it. I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. Listen, you'd be safer in the World Trade Center, in the will of God, with the Word of God, than you would be, brother, right smack in the middle of your living room, living in sin out of will of God. The surest plan's the Word of God. Lastly, the scariest pain is the wrath of God. Am I going to say that the attacks on the World Trade Center's 9/11 was the wrath of God? No, I'm not. I don't know that. You got to be real careful about making judgments like that. I could say, like Jesus said, those towers fell on some people in the Bible, and he said they wasn't no more sinners than you are. If you repent, you'll likewise perish. People in North Carolina, just as wicked as some of them is in the World Trade Center. I mean, people always talking about California having an earthquake. Guess who had one the other day? We did. I mean, God would be just if he dropped North Carolina in the ocean. Amen? God, we deserve that. So I'm not saying anything about the wrath of God, but I am saying this. The wrath of God is coming. And what we've seen in the last few weeks, where I've been preaching this weekend, they've had two record floods in the last week. It hadn't flooded like that in 100 years, and it done it twice in a week. I mean, there's some people up there getting scared. Earthquakes. The road that I went in on, I couldn't even come back on. Highway 301, bridge is gone. That's the first day I got there. They're scared. People are saying, is God trying to tell us something? Is God punishing us? I'm going to tell you something this morning. It may be just a little foretaste of what's coming. When the wrath of God comes, there'll be no place to hide. Just like those people were jumping out of them buildings, the Bible said they'll say to the mountains, fall on us, and the rocks, cover us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. You hear me this morning? There'll come a day when you'll beg God to have, you'll say, oh God, let a rock fall on me. Let the building fall on me so I won't have to face him. So I won't have to face him. There's God on his throne who knows everything you've done, who knows every word you've spoke, who's marked down every one of your sins, and you're going to stand right in front of him, his eyes like a flame of fire. And brother, you're going to look and you're going to say, just kill me, hide me, hide me. I don't want to face him. I don't want to face him. But you've got to face him. The wrath of God's coming on this earth. Listen, the water is going to turn to blood. The sun's going to be darkened. The moon will not give its light. Sores are going to come out on people. Pestilences, famines, wars like this world has never seen. We're getting ready for it right now. Here's what's coming. Get that light now. Here's what's coming. What could you do?
Are they lost? Explain what is causing this weather. Why is it taking 5 to 5?
Oh my God, that sudden drop in temperature has happened an hour ago. That's
tsunamis, the floods that we're seeing is just a little taste of what's coming soon.
Tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement.
Microchip in your body.
Mark my words.
A chip in everybody would be the universal monetary system par excellence, because there'd be no escape from it.
There'll be no escape. A one-world monetary system. A one-world government. The devil in the flesh, set on the throne, ruling the world.
And just a moment, we got an explosion.
As Americanism,
ladies and gentlemen, the wrath of God is coming on this earth.
What you see is happening now.
Find out what God thinks about our morals. You're going to find out what God thinks about our nation. You'll find out what God thinks about the Quran. Telling them for fear and for looking at those things that are coming on the earth.
A new world order.
That's what's coming on this earth. Cause us all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. You can't buy or sell unless you got the mark of the peace.
this earth. That's what's coming. Gonna worship the devil in the flesh. Tsunami was just a little taste. What's coming? Look at that verse of scripture.
My soul, look at that. God help us.
The street preacher warned them. The street preachers in New York warned them.
And every Sunday, and every time you turn a preacher on the radio or TV, and every time you run by a church or look at your Bible, you're being warned. You're being warned. You're being warned. Prepare. Get your heart right with God. Some of you sitting right here this morning have gotten mad at me for what I've said. You know why? Because you're under conviction. You're under conviction. I preach about your sin and you don't like it. And then there's some of you sitting here this morning, you're just as cold and dead. You have no feeling. You can't feel God. You can't cry. You know why? You're calloused because of this world has rubbed off on you. You got your head in this world. And you're so callous you can't even get a blessing anymore. I'm telling you, you better get in this altar and you better seek God. Because that's what's coming on this earth. Jesus died, hallelujah, on the cross. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture. Jesus died. Y'all coming to get us a song? I want to tell you this morning, Jesus died so you wouldn't have to go through the wrath of God. Jesus shed His blood so that you wouldn't have to go to hell and burn. You got a choice. Stay and burn or jump into His arms. Stay and burn or jump. I've often thought, what would I do? What would I do if I was in that building and the whole thing was on fire? I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I really don't. I guess you don't know if you're faced with it. I know one thing. I'd have to be mighty scared to jump out of 106th floor. That shows you a person will do anything to keep from burning. If you're saved here this morning, you ought to be shouting and praising God that you're not going to burn in hell. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I wouldn't walk out that door today till I got saved and I knew I was saved. I mean it. Give me that one middle light, Ron. Let's stand by our head. Everyone standing. Everybody bow your head. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Let God speak your heart. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done right now. I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Lord, it needs to come to this altar this morning to get their heart right. I pray, oh God. Oh God, oh God, help us this morning, Lord. Help us to get back where we need to be, Lord. Help us to get back where we need to be, God. Help me, God. Help us, Lord, please. Please, God, put our church where we need to be. Help us to get our heart right. Lord, help us to confess all sin, Lord. Help us to get the world out of us, Lord. Help us to get the sin out of us, God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, God, we pray. Save that one which is lost. In Jesus' name we pray. The altar's filling up now. You come right now while we sing. Amen. Amen. You come on.
Just
right
now. Come on. Come on right now. Come on, mama, daddy,
teenagers, young people, bus kids, visitors, church members. You come right now. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Amen. Come on right now. Come on. Amen. Come on right now. Oh, come on, young people. Let's get down here and get our heart right this morning. Let's get down here and get our heart right this morning. William, you know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. Come on. Amen. That's right.
Oh, God, I come.
Let's sing.
sing. Come on.
Hi.
Amen. No one's moving. No one's moving. You come right now. Sing now.
Just as
amen.
I am and waiting on.
Come on now.
To rid my soul.
Come on this morning.
Of one.
Amen.
Dark blood.
Come on now.
To thee.
Hallelujah.
Whose blood.
In sorrow,
Lamb of God, I come.
We're singing this morning. Why don't you come? You know what you need to do. Come on. You know what you need to do. Make that move right now. Make that move right now.
Receive,
come on.
Will welcome pardon. Because the promise of God I come.
Hallelujah.
I come.
You know what you need to do. She's playing softly. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm mad. You know what that is? That's conviction. You're under conviction. I don't like something you said. Well, if I'm wrong, you tell me and I apologize. If I'm right, then that's conviction in your heart. Sure it is. Be a man enough, be a woman enough, if it's conviction to deal with it. That's right. Maybe some of us need to straighten up. Some of y'all got some very, very bad church habits. Church attendance habits, giving habits, very bad. I'm telling you, you're going to be out. You don't need to be coming to church less. You need to be coming more in this generation. The Bible says that, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's hard to stay right with God now than it was 10 years ago. The world went down. We ain't a better nation than we was 10 years ago. I don't even know if we're safer. They claim we are, I don't know. God's the one that decides what happens. There's disease coming. There's famine's coming. I don't know what's going to happen to our economy. I don't know. I don't mean to sound like a prophet of gloom. There's no telling what we're going to see in the next year or two. There's no telling. I hope it's good. I hope the economy does better. I'd like to see some prosperous years. I want my kids, grandkids, I want them to all grow up and have a life like we did in America. But it ain't looking good. It ain't looking good. And we got one hope. We got one hope. And it's not voting in a Republican. It's getting right with God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm not much of one, but I try. I try to live right. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to live my life for the Lord. And I want to rededicate my life to the Lord this morning and say, let's get on fire. Let's do better. You know, there's so many things. I've been in this church lots of times. Like when I'm preaching revival this week, people would crowd around me saying, I want to go with you one night, Brother Danny. I want to go to the revival. I want to go. Now it's hard to even beg anybody to even go. Come regular church, let alone revival. I'm telling you, the devil is putting us to sleep in this country. We better pray. We better get back on this altar. Better get back where we need to be. Young people, I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, used to, you'd have a revival. 4 months later, you'd call back and the preacher would say, praise God, it's still going good. People still being saved. All right? And you know what they say now? Preachers say the lowest attendance day of the year is the Sunday after revival. People don't even come back at it. And we see that here after camp meetings. Somebody, man, I've been to church all week, man. I ain't going Sunday. Man, you really got a touch from God. We're in trouble, people. We've got so much, and we've been so blessed, but we don't appreciate what God's done for us. May God help us this morning. Amen. 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 All right, give me some more light, brother. Amen. All right. Thank God for these that come this morning. We're going to go ahead and let you go. Kids are out there running crazy. So you be back this evening at 6 o'clock. We're not dismissing yet, y'all. Just hold up. Pray for me. I'm going to try to get some rest so I can preach tonight. listen, let's pray. You be here tonight. Be here at 6 o'clock. You want God to bless you? Get in church regular. Read your Bible. Go home, spend some time. Pray. You say, Brother Danny, it's just so hard. Tell me about it. I know. I live in the same world you do. But it's a whole lot harder when you go the other way and then there's payday coming. A whole lot harder. It's a whole lot easier just to live right, do right. God will bless you for it. All minds and hearts clear? Amen. God bless you for coming this morning. Let's be dismissed in prayer after this fellowship. Be back at 6 this evening. We're going to talk about some real special things coming up. Jeremy, you dismiss us. Everybody fellowship before you go. Thank you.